It's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. Happy Friday Eve. Styles and Watkins on a Thursday. Nate Littlefield behind the glass for us today. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's a movie. It's a movie. Warriors come out to play. Kings take on the Warriors. They head to the Bay. Chris Watkins will be headed to the Bay to see the game. You excited for that?
Yeah, I'm hoping we should be able to make it in time, right? We get out of here at 2 o'clock.
You know, you're going against traffic.
That's true.
You're going against traffic, and then by the time the game is over, traffic coming back up. Traffic coming up won't be bad,
right?
But it's still a trek, so you're in for a long one. I mean, I'm in for a long one. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out my travel plans for the NFC Championship because
I'm concerned for you.
I don't really want to take the car because I don't really want my wife to not have a car all day.
Yeah,
so
that's tough.
I got to ride there. I'm just trying to figure out how to get
hitchhike
back. You know, hey, is there a caravan, something like that? Casual. I think we talked about on the show that you hadn't heard of casual carpool.
No,
so casual. Is there any casual carpooling going to the game? Please holler at your bizzle, holler at your boy.
This sounds very Bay Area.
Casual carpool, it was. So casual carpool, if you didn't live in the city, this is all pre-pandemic, it's probably back now, but casual carpool, you would, I guess there were Facebook groups or whatever, and you would just hear by word of mouth, hey, most of the time you would meet at a BART station.
Okay.
So you would meet at West Oakland BART.
Sure.
In the designated area, be like, hey,
someone's
casual carpool.
Someone safe in public.
I mean, luckily you're not alone. So
right.
It's you, somebody driving, they get to go in the carpool lane. They were going to drive anyway.
Right.
And then it's a full car, so it's the five of you in a car.
Wow.
You drive, and then they drop you off. They drop you, pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
They drop you off in the designated area. Then from there, you take Muni or whatever.
Okay.
And then if you feel so inclined, you send them $5 for gas or whatever. If you don't, you don't have to.
I don't like that second part. No, I think you should have to at least contribute something. Like, I understand
they're getting the carpool. They're getting the carpool out of it. You can. I did it a couple times. So any casual,
like you got to be in the area.
Chris doesn't want a casual carpool to the.
No, I get upset when because Uber has a carpool option.
No, I've never done that.
I hate that. Last time I did it was in Vegas, and it's just super awkward.
I'm not doing that.
Hey, do you mind we have to go pick up somebody, or do you mind that we drop them off first? And I'm like,
yes, I do.
I literally,
I've been in here.
Yeah.
For 20 minutes, you dropped off two people that you picked up after me. All right.
I'm also not trying to host as the driver, too.
Yeah.
Be like, what's up, everyone? Are we here? Are we doing this?
But you don't have to. Right. And then it's like, do you play music?
Yeah.
You guys want to, what's your morning vibe?
Yeah.
Some people
don't
are like,
talk
to me. Bringing coffee.
I got some McMuffins. Hey, can you not eat in my car?
Right.
Make sure to give me $5 at the end.
Yeah. Shout out casual carpool. But anybody casual carpooling back from the Niner game, holler at your boy, as we get into, honestly, man, the coaching carousel, not just, it's normally supposed to be just the NFL right now, also the NBA with the Wizards. You got elevated. This happened at my tech job. Somebody, they lost their role, but they got a different role within the company.
Yeah.
And it was like, are you good? Is this a promotion? What is it?
Yeah.
So that's happening in Wizards land as they move away from their head coach, but he moves. And the same thing happened with Brad Stevens, right?
Yeah, same thing happened with Alvin Gentry, too.
You move to the front office. So this is from Woj. The Washington Wizards are promoting top assistant Brian Keefe to interim head coach for the rest of the season. Sources tell ESPN he will replace Wes Unseld Jr., who will move into a front office role. Is that a what are we calling that?
Yeah, it's, I guess they'll frame it as a promotion, but from what I understand, they really like Wes Unseld, the guy, but I think that they realize that if he's going to continue to be the coach, he's probably just going to continue to stack up losses, and it's going to be tough to, keep him past being a head coach. So if I had to guess, this is their way of, keeping the person, but, not... But also firing
great
him at the same time.
It's
a really weird thing. But again, I would just say they did the same exact thing with Alvin Gentry here in Sacramento. And Alvin is still incredibly – I mean, Alvin's probably the guy that I see more than anybody else. I mean, yeah. I see Alvin more than I see Wes Wilcox or Monty McNair, so wouldn't surprise me if Wes Unseld kind of falls into a similar role where he's almost like the team ambassador.
Right. Well, and it also depends where you are in your career, right? Alvin Gentry had coached for years, and maybe he felt, I'm actually cool, right? If you weren't in that position. Like, to me, Brad Stevens, that was the heist of the century because he – they overproduced when they were shorthanded and underperformed when they were at full strength. And they said, we'll just send you up here, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, Brad Stevens is in a great position. And they still don't have a championship, right? So the Celtics, in the curious case of the coaches that they have had, that is something else. But shout out to the Wizards and whatever they're trying to do. We have more news.
Shout out to the Wizards.
We have more news on the Wizards. Actually, not shout out to the Wizards, as they are now saying that Kuzma is off the tape. They have no clue what they want to do. None of these teams do, the sellers or the buyers. And this is from Sam Amico, not Sam Amick. Wizards not inclined to trade Kyle Kuzma. Now, yesterday when we played the Athletic podcast with Sam Amick, there was a note in there.
Right, from David Aldridge.
From David Aldridge that said they'd be looking for something similar to the Pascal Siakam deal. And we have more. We have something else. We have something else came out on Caruso and his price tag.
Jeez.
It's just getting – it's absurd now.
Yeah. It's getting ridiculous.
It's getting ridiculous. Okay, like we said, if the Niners win, we get to go to Vegas. Whatever you imagine, the difference between a hotel price in Vegas – right now, as of 10:08 a.m. and 10:08 a.m. Saturday morning, that upcharge, okay? It's busy when it says that on Uber.
Yes.
That's what's happening in the NBA
now.
It's busy. You have a 90% increase.
Yeah.
So instead of it being $12, it's $44 to go down the street.
It's nuts. I mean, shout out Alex Caruso. Wow, way too many shout outs already in the first segment. But
no, we got to get him going.
I guess. Alex Caruso is a fine player. I was hearing this morning that, you know, he's really the guy who's almost separate in that Chicago situation. That DeRozan's contract's up at the end of this year. LaVine's been put in every trade room, or even Vucevic's guy that they're looking to move. And from what I understand, Caruso's the one that they're expecting to get the biggest haul from. That's the guy where, you know, they're going to probably have to send maybe even a first-round pick to get off of LaVine. And DeRozan, with him being expiring, you're probably not going to get a ton in return. The Bulls are looking at Caruso as the guy who's going to replenish their stock for building in the future. And so it's tough. Maybe I think they asked Sam Amick this morning on the morning show if there's a possibility that, hey, maybe if you do the deal with LaVine, could Caruso be a throw in to try and, you know, instead of the Bulls getting rid of a first round pick, just throw in Caruso? And Sam seemed a little bit hesitant to say that that's really even a possibility. So it seems like they are dead set on Alex Caruso getting them a big return, and that's really bad news for the Kings.
It's all bad.
You just can't ship off two first round picks for Alex Caruso.
No, you can't do. And nobody's. I guess so. I wouldn't say nobody, but you wouldn't
think.
It's
a tough sell.
I am so excited. And look, if the Niners win, we will be in Vegas for the trade deadline. So a lot of moving and grooving going on. I am really excited to see what happens because something's got
to
give.
It's got to.
Right? The sellers are not moving and the buyers are saying, your price too high, man. I'm not taking it. It just reminds me of a big episode of Shark Tank. That's what it is. Also, in the coaching carousel, it finally happened. Okay. Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers.
That's right.
And I know the Raiders got Antonio Pierce. I'm going to tell you what. The Chiefs, they have another opportunity to win a Super Bowl. We'll see if they can get past Lamar, right? You still have the best quarterback in the league. Some people think he's the future GOAT, right? But you don't want to play no games with Jim Harbaugh, because Jim Harbaugh with Justin Herbert, who – Justin Herbert doesn't strike me as a guy who is very rah-rah. He's got a very cool, calm demeanor. Definitely. But I think all these guys have some sort of ego. And I'm sure Justin Herbert's been hearing a lot of, this guy's not a winner, right? He's got all the tools, but when is he going to put it together? You put that guy in the hands of a Jim Harbaugh who has just done well and just succeeded at every level, right? He's been to the Super Bowl. He didn't win, but he's been to a Super Bowl. I think it could get real dangerous.
Yeah, I do too.
And look, Denver, I think it's going to be outstanding television with the Broncos and that whole situation. I don't know what Denver's planning
to
do.
They don't either.
They could easily be.
I've heard Russ is gone. I've heard Russ is coming back.
You heard Russ is coming back.
I have heard that it is not out of the question that Russell Wilson is coming back next year.
Over under any beef that happens between Jim Harbaugh. Because when they were saying Jim Harbaugh got hired, they showed the clip of him
the last time,
with Jim Schwartz, when he just daps him
up. Give me your hand.
Give me your hand, and just pushes him out of the way. There's definitely going to be something.
Get over here.
He goes scorpion on him with Sean Payton, and it's going to be absolute cinema.
Be so great.
And then you have Antonio Pierce in the corner just yelling, Raiders, just over and over, and you have Andy Reid, who's just Andy Reid. So the AFC West is going to be incredibly entertaining, and if Jim Harbaugh is able to turn that thing around, which I'm assuming he is, it's always good to have another good team. And Chris, not to come down your road, this is why you keep a team in Los Angeles, just in case. Because if you hit, because this is the team that has, the 25th?
Yeah.
They were 25 when it comes to their net worth, right? Or worth as far as being a franchise. We'll see what happens by the time Jim Harbaugh's tenure is over. And I'm not I still agree with you. I'd love for some of these other markets, not even smaller, just other markets to have teams.
Right.
But it's New York, it's LA, and you hope to hit and you hope to figure these things out. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, you know, we've had some great conversations this week about media and players. And another part of this is the fans. But we're taking this to a different dynamic where Luka Doncic gets a fan kicked out. He claims that the media member that posted on why the fan got kicked out has it out for him. And also, it's just a matter of what is that line when it comes to being able to say things to fans and the age-old comparisons of you wouldn't do that to somebody working on the street. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
The Mavs took on the Suns last night, and as you recall, they have a bit of history. Look, we talk a lot about the lack of, who's going to be the next face of the NBA, but I do think that there are some healthy rivalries brewing. Specifically, I wouldn't even just say specifically in the Western Conference. Now you have the Pacers and the Celtics, mini rivalries, right? A lot of mini rivalries. Pacers-Bucks is what I meant to say. And, you know, the Suns-Celtics is one of those rivalries. So I'm watching the game yesterday.
Mavericks, you mean.
Suns-Mavericks, geez. So, and every time I change the channel, something chippy happened, unfortunately. So I didn't catch anything. But early on, I mean, I turned it on, and I think they were still in the first or maybe early second, and they had already gotten into a scuffle where Grant Williams was involved because he is the self-proclaimed enforcer. He actually ended up getting kicked out because he was mad at what Nurkic did after the scuffle. So, and the game was in Dallas, so basically there was a screen, and Grant Williams stands over KD. Nurkic was a really healthy push to Grant Williams. Grant Williams does his I'm a big dog thing. That was the first tech. And then Grant Williams is in the post with Nurkic. Nurkic backs him up, and Grant kind of tries to flop. And then after Nurkic scores, he says something over him. Grant Williams gets kicked out. So there was a lot of chippiness going on in the game. Now, Tim McMahon, who does NBA for ESPN, and I guess has a history with Luka Doncic, posts a video, and the game was in Dallas, of a Suns fan who basically
unconfirmed that it's Christopher Laud. I'm telling you, it was Christopher Laud.
That it was Christopher Laud.
Number one Luka hater.
That's
number
right.
Number one Devin Booker supporter.
That's right. So this is the tweet from Tim McMahon. Luka Doncic asked security to eject this Suns fan who was sitting two rows behind mid-cut press row. The comment the fan made that drew Luka's wrath: Luka, you're tired. Get your bleep on the treadmill. And it's not but. It's the three-letter word for but, right? Which I don't necessarily, sure, that's cursing or whatever. So Luca, it's light work, if that's it.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't just Tim McMahon reporting this. Other reporters mm-hmm. said the same thing because I guess based on where they were all sitting, they could hear.
Yeah, it must be nice. That's
this
crazy.
Was, yes.
They're sitting like courtside.
I know.
Like,
there's levels to this.
Yeah, no, there's levels definitely to levels to it for sure.
This is Luca in the post game when I believe Tim McMahon asked him about the situation and Luca responds.
Everything he said, but I knew you would be the first one to point out something.
What else did you say?
Because I'm not going to say what he said, but I knew you would be the first one to put out something like that. So I just saw it, man. It's just funny. You always seem to be the first one to put some bad stuff about me.
Luca, first of all, 99% of the stuff I've written about you has been good. Second of all, the guy was sitting two rows behind us.
Right? So it was the only thing he was, that time he said something, the only thing?
That was what you reacted to.
Yeah. I was hearing the whole first half, right? You didn't hear it?
Well, no, he was definitely hollering all game. You reacted to it.
He put out something that was just the only thing.
What was the thing that he...
It's not the issue. I'm just saying you seem to be the first one to always put something bad about me.
Look, well, I think several of us actually tweeted that.
It's all over.
Why would you ask for the fan to be ejected?
Because he was cursing me the whole first half, too.
Why don't you ask for Logan ejected in the first half then?
Because I never would eject a fan. They pay for tickets, but I had enough, you know. It's a little bit of frustration.
You turned your head.
First of all, can I say, and I promise I'll leave it alone because we are moving forward with the whole MediaGate thing here in Sacramento. I've never heard a player get double teamed. Like, I don't even know who the second person was.
Yeah, I don't know who that second person
was. The way Luka Doncic did in at home.
Yeah.
At home. He got tag teamed.
Dude faces double teams all day.
Even off the court.
Yeah, it's
so crazy. Let me just say that. I've never, just to put things in perspective, I've never heard Sacramento media go at their star like
that's
that.
That's a real back and forth.
That's a real deal back and forth. Now, Tim McMahon,
Tim McMahon for not backing down either.
As I read it, he's not specifically, maybe he's with the Mavericks more, but you know, when you go on his page, it just says NBA for ESPN.
Yeah.
Right. So clearly there is a history there.
Definitely.
And Luka kind of got caught up a little bit. I know he's your guy, but he did get caught up
a little bit
because he's saying he's chirping him a lot. He's saying, well, I didn't want to kick him out because he paid tickets, but I had had enough. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
If you follow the course of the game, the Mavericks started to lose hold of the game.
Yeah, no, they were getting killed by the time he got him kicked out.
So basically how a lot of people feel is it's not about the fact that he was saying stuff to you. You got him kicked out because he was saying stuff to you, and then you guys were losing, and then you were kind of annoyed.
I think it was like 84 to 100 when he got him kicked out.
Yeah.
In like the third quarter.
So when they were winning, everybody tough when they up. That's what Luka said himself.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Exactly. Yeah. He was hoping Dallas was going to win.
Yeah.
And he was going to look at that fan and
say,
hey, bro, what happened to all that talking, not talking anymore? And then, to your point, goes the other way. And all of a sudden, it's like, it's too much.
So from this, right?
Can I defend Luka real? Just one thing.
Fine.
One thing.
Fine.
It is wild that Tim McMahon is trying to act like he didn't know what he was doing with that tweet.
You just said but shout out Tim McMahon for not backing down.
He didn't back down. Shout out for him for saying, hey, no, I reported it for sure. But bruh, come on. Like Luka said, because this is Luka's point. If you listen, he's like, that fool was talking for a quarter or two and a half quarters before I kicked him out. Why did you put the thing? I mean, it's because
that's
Tim
the one
McMahon
that
says,
he kicked him out on.
That's fair, but Tim McMahon also knows that that's a very, no pun intended here, it's a very heavy criticism of Luka in his career has been his weight. And I think he's very sensitive to that specific subject matter. And so for Tim McMahon to put that out, read Tim McMahon's tweet
no,
one more
I hear
time
you.
Because
I hear
the,
you.
It's the wording that Tim McMahon uses in that tweet that is very dramatic, and it makes it sound like here's Luka being upset about fat jokes again. He can't handle the fat jokes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he should listen to the fan who told him to get on a treadmill.
Right.
Go ahead and read it. Go ahead and read the words before the quote.
Luka Doncic asked security to eject this Suns fan who is sitting two rows behind midcourt press row. The comment the fan made that drew Doncic's wrath?
Drew Doncic's wrath sounds like we're writing like a fairy tale book.
Yes.
Like, what are we
He knew what he was doing.
He knew exactly what he was doing. Could have also, that's what Luka's mad at.
Yeah, and he could have also said the fan was giving it to him
all. The fan's been chirping all game.
All game. Yeah. All game. He knew what he was doing. Right, it's a little bit of theater there.
Absolutely, I'm still going to say shout out to McMahon for not backing down, because I think it's easy when you get pressed by, you know, someone who's a multimillionaire and they're really pushing you. Sometimes, you know, gets
future
a little tight.
Face of the league.
You're not supposed to be the story. As a reporter, it's your job to report, not to be a part of the story.
Yeah.
And so I could see a lot of people naturally just kind of being like, hey, man, I'm just saying. Whatever.
They both got to wear it.
He really, I mean, he went at him.
So. It was a petty off.
Yeah,
they both got to wear it.
It was big petty off.
We got to get to a break when we get back. So now the conversation becomes, you don't chirp someone working at a restaurant or a job or an office job, whatever. I'm sick of hearing that, and we're going to talk about why. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local. This is Sacktown Sports.
What is okay, what is not okay to say when you are at a sporting event? It is a conversation that probably won't ever end. And, you know, there are people, what would I call them? Captain Save a Players that just always have the players back. And we get it. There's a line. But I also think that some of these comparisons just have never made sense. So we have, I've mentioned this guy before. He does hoops for Hoop Mag. He does NBA Canada, Josh Eberle. And he was kind of going back and forth and had Luka's side in the situation. And then he went to something that we hear quite often. He says, fans aren't participating in the game. It's really a backwards idea that fans who swear at athletes are in the right because that's sports. Nah, you wouldn't say that to an average person on the street or a coworker because there'd be consequences. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. Why do we keep doing this? And I feel conflicted because I don't want to sit here and say, because you get paid a lot of money, people get to curse at you. There is a line. But it's a different line to me than, oh, I'm going to go curse at my coworker. You're paying to go. It's just, there is no comparison, right?
If no, you
wanna,
there isn't. Yeah.
If you want to say that you don't think it's cool and that no amount of money should allow someone to be cursed at, fine.
Okay.
But these comparisons make absolutely no sense, and I wish they would stop.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think it's just trying to relate to the people who don't get it, because I have no problem with heckling. I think it's like one of those things where we all know what the line. I don't think we know, there's not a defined line,
no.
But it's one of those things that you hear it and you're like, dang, like,
right, that's kind of,
let's relax here.
Yes, like, yeah.
So I don't really know how you can police it correctly, but I think it's more just because there is as there is with everything, there's a subset of fans that ruin it for everybody. Like, there are people who just don't know what the line is. And I think it's just trying to get the message through to those people as well as you can, if I had to guess. Like, it's just trying to find an example. It's not a perfect one, like you said. I don't think there is a apples to apples example. I mean, sports are such a unique culture, environment, and like setting. There's not, like, you can't even compare it to like going to a theater or something like that. I know when we talked about booing with Kyle last week, we tried, I think we might have said theater. If you go to a movie you don't like, are you okay to boo? There's not really anything that fits the same setting.
The actors wouldn't hear you.
Exactly. Exactly. The actors wouldn't hear you. So it kind of, that's why it's not the same. So I don't know. I mean, I don't believe, I understand why fans will scream and yell and sometimes go over the line. I've never been one of those people, but I think that there is fan rights, is what I will say. I think that a lot of times, as there always is, it's just tough to kind of find and to try and police those individual people.
I would say there's a few like lines that you do not cross as a fan. One, racism.
Yes. Absolutely.
Which unfortunately we've seen
a
few times, and they've been kicked out, right?
Every sport, too. Yeah.
Bringing up someone's family, there's no need to do that.
Right.
And violence against a player.
Absolutely.
Those, but I think those are under, at least when I'm saying what I just said, that's understood to me.
Yeah.
But if you say, hey, Luca, you bleeping suck.
Like with the family thing, like the Westbrook. Like Westbrook says, that's part of my family. Right. That's my family name.
That's going a little far.
But that's his. But now what do you do?
Yeah.
But now what do you do?
Because he's kicked people out of games for calling
him
Westbrook.
Now LeBron never said, don't call me LeBrick.
LeBum, whatever.
LeFive and Six, right? No, I don't mind being, or he just doesn't care enough.
Yeah. No, I agree, Chris.
No, and I hear what you're saying, Chris, and that's what I'm, both Chris's, because that's what I'm saying. If you say to a player, hey, so-and-so, you bleeping suck, right?
Right.
Do I do that? No.
Right.
But to me, that's not crossing the line.
Right.
In my opinion. Now, according
to... that's getting close, but it's not like you shouldn't get kicked out for it.
No.
Like, morally, is it like... again, that becomes... I think what Josh, right, is trying to say there is very much in the same respect as the golden rule, don't say something that you wouldn't want someone to say to you. I think what he's more trying to say is don't say something to someone on the court that you wouldn't say to somebody just walking on the street.
But that's just, I just disagree.
I just think morally, like if you're trying to find the line, I think that's a good judgment of, am I stepping over the line? Because if you say, hey, you're a bum,
so you're removing the fact that you paid to go.
I think so, yeah. I mean, just because you pay to go somewhere doesn't necessarily, I mean, sure, there's, you can lighten up some rules, but it doesn't mean that there's not consequences to your actions.
I just don't think but that's what I'm saying.
It's like the strictly, freedom of speech thing. It's like you can say whatever you want, but also you have to understand that there's still ramifications to your actions.
Like the bottom line is that's why I kept it to you bleeping suck, because it's in the lines.
Yeah.
It's not about family. It's not about race. It's not about anything like that. Yeah. There is
a
curse word in there, right? To me, the tough part about this is the reason that these comparisons will never work is because even if we were to say you pay for a service, when we talked with Kyle about booing, right? Hey, I'm going to send this food back if I don't like it.
Right.
There's no rival restaurant to where you're saying, I don't like this restaurant's food. I'm going to boo. There's just no comparison. And also, they get paid, athletes do, because of the insane passion that these fans have.
Absolutely.
So it's just really tough to rein it in.
Yeah.
Because if you rein it in too much, your dollar bills might go, because it's all connected.
Yeah.
So I'm not okay. I'm not saying it's okay to MF people. I'm not saying that that's cool, but I am saying that there is a line, and if you continue to move in this way that can be viewed as soft, and then run behind the podium and say, well, I'm not going to say what he was saying, people are just going to say, come on, man. Come on.
Yeah, no, for sure. I understand, definitely. I think that, and, you know, I think it's tough because you're right. Fans definitely, and fans are, to your point, they're as involved in this entire thing or as important as just about anybody else. Without them, this thing does not, it's not as big as it is. I mean, obviously, the fans are the thing that makes this thing go, and you do want your fans to, you're completely right. Like, that passion is what drives this whole machine. If they're not passionate, if they feel whatever, if they feel like, I get mad at the Kings, I can just put them to the side. Well, that's not how this operation works. You need them, you need the frustration to almost strengthen their fandom. And so it's tough, and you can't tell people how to act in the arena. It's just, I don't know. I think it's a really tough thing. I think the NBA, I mean, what, even, you know, there's been tons of instances at Fenway Park, right? With Adam Jones, Andrew Jones.
In the outfield.
Yeah. I mean, there's been issues with it in the past in sports. It's just, I mean, frankly, it's a people issue. It's not even really, I don't think it's a fan issue. I think it's specific bad actors who just don't know who the line is. And I think that's true in society as well. There's people who, you know, will take things way past the point in which they need to be reached. And I don't know if there's any way you can fully eliminate that.
Yeah. And also, just as far as getting back to Luka and what was said, that's also the problem in this specific Luka situation, that if he was, and this is what Tim McMahon said, if he was chirping you all game, why didn't you kick him out earlier?
Yeah.
If he was cursing at you all game, why didn't you kick him out earlier? And then athletes, they just have all of the power in the world, which I'm, sure. I guess I'm okay with, right?
Yeah.
If you want to just do it at your own, hey, you want to curse at an athlete, do it at your own will, but you could be kicked out if all of a sudden, okay, Luka was cool with it because it was a close game and sure. I'm getting ready to give it back to you, but now the game's gotten out of hand and actually I don't want to hear that anymore. That's just a part of being one of the faces of the NBA yeah. and being a professional athlete, but I just can't get down with the, would you say this to someone with an office job? No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Do I pay to watch that person push papers? No.
Right. Yeah, and I think that might be where there's also a miscommunication or a disconnect is the fans are going thinking, I'm going to see this thing that I'm a part of, and this is like a part of my life, and it's, you know, I am as much of a part of this place as mm-hmm. anybody else in here. Because I, like you said, I put the money towards it. I support this franchise for X amount of years, put this time towards it. And the players feel like these people are walking into our space
yeah.
and they're not respecting our space. We're, I'm sure the players think of this almost like they're zoo animals. Like you guys are stepping into our habitat here to watch us. And then you're poking us with sticks and throwing things at us. And, you know, you're just not really respecting our dojo. I think that's how.
But without us, we don't have a dojo. You don't have a dojo.
No. And I think, I mean, but that's the misunderstanding with the media.
Yeah.
I just think that the players in today's era just like, I think, and maybe rightfully so, I'm sure they definitely would tell you that they're in the right for thinking this way. I just think they kind of view this as their space and people are stepping into it and you know they just feel like they have a bit of entitlement, which I think they do a little bit, but I definitely think it does step over the line when you're kicking people out for saying things that really aren't completely over the top. Again,
yeah.
like the things Chris laid out, all of those
yes.
are complete
gotta go.
Understanding
gotta
of,
go.
It shouldn't even have to be a player to kick them out. It should be fans around them, security,
yeah.
anybody who hears it, ushers, that should get you kicked out. But it's a slippery slope when the players start to determine, I just didn't like what you said, or hey, this dude is you know, he might not even be yelling. Is there a difference between yelling or this guy sitting behind the bench and just trash talking me the whole game? It's just a slippery slope when the players start to have complete, you know, no questions asked. He can just get that guy booted.
That's the
dangerous.
Thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how they fix, hey, because I don't know if their levels
think you
of
can fix the problem, but how do you fix the solution?
Yeah,
I that's the bigger thing.
And I don't know if their levels of throwing out. I would imagine there's throwing out and then there's banned, right?
Of course,
so
yeah.
So
yeah.
this guy isn't banned.
I wouldn't imagine.
Now
no,
he might
no.
not ever. Here's the thing, he might not ever make enough money to sit in those seats again.
That's
I
right,
don't know.
Right.
And if you wanted to spend it, maybe that's part of it too. You paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay. You said what you said, and Luka could hear you. You probably were telling your friends, I'm going to give it to Luka all
Absolutely,
day. I'm
yeah.
in their house. I'm the one Suns fan that you don't want to be around, right? And it costs you,
yeah.
right?
Maybe
and
the move is, hey, if you get any strikes on your record, you can no longer sit in the lower bowl because mm-hmm. we can't put you in vicinity of the player's ear. Like maybe that's a better solution. It's not kicking you out of the arena in total. It's just saying we have to put you somewhere where you're not at risk or a threat,
maybe.
If you will, to
yeah.
possibly interrupt the play.
Or you don't have to make this public. We got to get to a break. You don't have to make this public. Maybe it's, hey, Luka, you hold the players accountable. If you ask somebody to get kicked out, we need a record of what they
sure.
said because these people did pay money. And maybe once Luka has calmed down, cooled off, right, and the game is now over a day or two later, you just get a call from the league. Hey, did this guy cross? Like, it's all good. No mm-hmm. judgment, right? Hey, do you feel like this guy crossed the line? What level should they get
sure.
moving forward? Now, that guy's experience is still over,
yeah.
but you run that risk if you sit that close and you talk trash, right?
Right.
Whether I agree with it or not, that's the player's prerogative. And then Luka says, hey, actually, if you know, it probably wasn't, he didn't cross any of our guideline lines, but you know, I had enough, right? I don't know, but I think there has to be some level because like we said, even when you do that, that dude may never sit that close again. So you want to sit that close and the team's other star, you're not going to chirp him. I don't know, but
They can't be trusted.
Those things can happen. All right, get into a break. When we get back, the NFL coaches carousel continues as a couple new head coaches are announced yesterday. Styles and Watkins, and today, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
From the 916, Allen, drop off in Stockton and take the ACE train. That's from Steven. But here's a problem, Steven. That's like a smooth 40 minutes from me. So the drop off is the issue there.
Right.
Yeah, I think Amtrak would make more sense.
It's going to be at night, too. Right. I don't know how late the trains run.
But I like the idea, Steven. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about the ACE train. You ever heard of that?
No.
Nate, you know the ACE train?
No. My strategy at Levi, though, involves a car both ways, but we park at this place called the Great Mall.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like, it's literally you just get on 680 and you take it all the way to the Great Mall, and then you... take the
light rail,
yeah, right in front of the stadium. It's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah,
it's really easy, and because parking's $50.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because media, I think Emil said I have a parking pass, but I don't even know if I want to be a part of that mess.
Might not have a choice.
To be honest, that's what I did last week. To be honest, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the only issue was it was pouring rain when I showed up, had to go across the parking lot. I only complained because I had my camera stuff, so I was getting a little scared. I had to buy a poncho from a sporting goods place.
Nice.
Wow.
But then the other thing that sucked is the media took a while to give you your passes,
right.
And you're just standing in the rain. But it's not going to rain for you, so honestly, wasn't that bad. I stayed really late. I was there really.
That's my concern.
I didn't get home till like 1:30 in the morning.
I can't get out of there early. I either wear it.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
I either leave early or wear it.
I would sit in the press conference or whatever.
Well, I'm not. Yeah, I might as well. Right?
Yeah, because I was watching the traffic still post press conference, post locker room, lines out the parking lot, huge.
Oof.
So,
but then wouldn't that be an argument to do light rail?
Well, here's the thing about the light rail is that it still takes a while because that's when I go to games. Normally, mm-hmm. Niners games, I take that light rail, but only so many people fit on the light rail, so you have to wait for each train. Multiple. You're probably
So this isn't a secret. Everybody's doing
everybody
it.
Knows.
Yeah, they're not doing it at that spot necessarily. There's a decent amount, but it's the best way to save money.
Yeah.
To save a lot of money. And honestly, time. It probably takes less time to do that than to wait in the parking lot because mm-hmm. that line looked horrible.
All right. Well, keep the ideas coming. Thank you, Steven. As I try to figure out a non-car way, casual carpool.
So really expensive Uber. I know people who do that, and shout out to them.
No.
I could never. They're like, oh, yeah, I'll just take an Uber down to the bay. And I'm like, you're insane.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think. But that's here's the thing. Santa Clara is the bay, but it's on the other side. It's not San Francisco.
Right. Yes.
You're
going the opposite.
You're
way.
On the opposite, yeah. opposite
Complete
end.
Opposite.
So how is Santa Clara the bay if it's not touching the water? Like,
we're not
water.
Doing
we're
this
not
right
doing
now.
That.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm just curious.
Too much.
Ask Brendan. Ask Brendan next time.
Yeah, right. That's Brendan's area. Actually.
I didn't know till a few years ago that Vallejo was part of the bay. But
oh, yeah.
I guess
that's
it touches
like
the water.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah.
There you go. All right, trains, planes, and carousels. The coaching carousel for the NFL continues as Jim Harbaugh heads to the Chargers. David Canales heads to the Panthers, former Bucks OC. Antonio Pierce gets introduced as head coach for the Raiders. And Brian Callahan to the Titans, former Bengals OC. So we're still seeing that trend of the younger offensive coordinators. By the way, just got a text from one of my best buds, says, don't forget to tell the people that Brian Callahan, former De La Salle alum. Shout out to the Sparties out there, De La Salle. And then after that, he went to UCLA. Shout out UCLA. and moved on from that. And he was coaching at Serra in San Mateo, moved his way up the ranks, and he was most recently the offensive coordinator for the Bengals and Joe Burrow. Now he gets an opportunity with the Titans and Mayo, wow. Man.
There you go. I'm shocked that Vrabel hasn't found a spot yet.
Me too.
I know, like you said, I know the trend is these young OCs or these young coordinators in general, but you know, there's still something to tried true and someone who's got a history of success. I mean, like, I think the fact that Vrabel brought that Titans team, I mean, I think people forget, what was it, 2 years ago? I think they were a one seed in the AFC, and they were perennially just a thorn in the side of really every playoff team. It was the team that no one wanted to play in the playoffs because you knew you were going to get a heavy dose of Derrick Henry and just physical football. You know, when the Patriots passed on him, I was pretty shocked. I mean, I guess the Gerard Mayo thing had been set up for a while, but if I'm a coach, like, I would have a hard time saying I would rather have Jim Harbaugh over Mike Vrabel, like a dude who's been in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Harbaugh, of course, has had success in the NFL in the past, but I don't. I mean, I think that Harbaugh is going to work out in L.A., but I think Vrabel is I mean, I would just take the recent history of I know this guy can build something. You know, he just did it instead of Harbaugh, who, you know, has built two different programs. But I don't know. I would just trust Vrabel more.
Well, I think that
seems a little bit more in touch, too.
Sure. But, you know, it's very similar to the backup quarterback that sits for a year to the Mitchell Trubisky plan. To where you sit for a year behind a really good guy in Josh Allen, all of a sudden you can't fail if you're not playing.
Right,
and
exactly.
All of a sudden the Steelers want to take a chance on him, and he had an opportunity to start.
Yeah,
and Jim Harbaugh coming off a national championship, everybody picks and chooses when they care about success in college. But for Jim Harbaugh, I think a lot of people feel like the end of the Niners' tenure wasn't really his fault.
No,
right?
It seemed like it was politics. Right?
And we had Asante Cleveland who kind of talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, really kind words for Harbaugh.
Really
too.
Kind words for Harbaugh. So maybe people feel like, okay, it was his. Let's put it to you like this, though. It was his choice to go back to college. We don't know that.
To an extent, yeah.
We don't know that anybody would have picked him up,
right?
When just like the Vrabel situation.
Totally.
And then you have Vrabel who sat there and had an opportunity for years. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that people love the hot new name. And weirdly, weirdly enough, yeah, he's got his brother doing well. It's just, it's in his blood.
No, right.
And I just think that Vrabel's stock is not as high right now. And
I mean, it's also he seems to be a little bit more. I mean, he comes from the Patriot way. Like I said, he turned that Titans team into a well-oiled machine. Something tells me Mike Vrabel might be a little bit of a type A person, a little bit more so like Bill Belichick than any other coach.
The Patriot way, is that stock as high as it was?
So that's what I mean is like, I don't know if he's he's not the Sean McVay. He doesn't quite give Mike McDaniel vibes, right?
No,
like he's kind of the furthest thing.
He's like stuck between Dan Campbell. Yeah. He's like a more chill Dan Campbell.
Yeah, very much
type
so.
Deal.
Yeah, just like a more relatable Campbell and like Belichick. I mean, he played many years for the Patriots. Like it makes sense why a lot of that DNA seeped into him. But that's a really good point. It's just not really in fashion right now to bring in a guy like Vrabel.
So out of the head coach openings, this is from Adam Schefter, the general managers, Raiders, Tom Telesco, which is an interesting pick, I would say, for the Raiders based on his relationship with Antonio Pierce. Commanders, Adam Peters, Panthers, Dan Morgan, Chargers still don't have a GM, Patriots still don't have a GM. For the head coaches, you have Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers, Antonio Pierce with the Raiders, Gerard Mayo with the Patriots, Brian Callahan with the Titans, Dave Canales with the Panthers, and you still have Seahawks with an opening, Commanders with an opening, Falcons with an opening. I don't know why I would see maybe Vrabel with the Falcons, but I think the Falcons have an offensive
problem. I don't know. I keep seeing Belichick. I mean, Kyle was adamant that Belichick is going to either Atlanta or the Chargers, and now that the Chargers are out of there, I would guess maybe Atlanta is the Belichick favorite. So I don't really know. What do you think about, you just kind of pointed it out there, the theory or the practice, I guess, of hiring the coach before the GM? Because that was something we dealt here in Sacramento where I believe it was Mike Malone was hired as the coach, and then they hired Pete D'Alessandro as the GM. And essentially what happened was the entire time Pete D'Alessandro was trying to undermine Mike Malone and get his own guy, George Karl, in there.
Yeah.
It feels like that's what's always destined to happen, right? It's like the GM's always going to want his guy. Like, he's going to always want to have his hands on everything. And, of course, if anything goes wrong, the first person you're going to blame is the guy that you didn't appoint, right?
So, unless you're going to give that guy ultimate power. Now, Jim Harbaugh doesn't strike me as a guy who wants the GM stuff as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah, so you would say, of course, AFC
Raiders,
West.
Right.
AFC West, always a mess. AFC West, they did that. It's Jim Harbaugh. And maybe Jim Harbaugh is such a big name. Doesn't matter who the GM is. Right. Or he might have a hand.
Can I add about Jim Harbaugh and the GM?
Yeah.
Him and Trent Baalke in San Francisco did not get along
at
all.
For that specific reason, right?
A lot of it. But Harbaugh's drafts were also terrible. Mm-hmm. Especially outside of Alden Smith, his drafts were so... He inherited that team for the most part. He added a few parts. But he did not get along with Baalke. That plays into Baalke a bit. Mm-hmm. But some of the things, reports that came out were bad, to put it lightly.
So Harbaugh has a bad scouting eye.
Well, I'd say that right now. Okay. I'd say that right now. And then Michigan, I don't know. That's a different world.
It's
college
not
recruiting.
For sure.
Yeah. So, but I think he needs a GM who
checks and balances
will work with him. Yeah. Like, I don't think like John Lynch right now would work very well with Harbaugh. I think those are two
interesting
guys that would clash.
Yeah. Well,
that's just my opinion.
So you think they need Harbaugh's personality needs more of a, not, I wouldn't say yes man, but somebody who's willing to cooperate with him.
That's,
or do you think someone who needs to overrule him because he is so present in those decisions?
I think he's good enough to make a choice, and he deserves a second chance in the NFL getting his guys, because obviously you're the coach, you need your guys, you know it's going to work in your head, you know what I mean? And he comes into the league now, he has the highest rated winning percentage in the NFL. He takes over McVay, coming back in.
It's an interesting nugget.
Yeah. So, which is kind of crazy. But we're talking about the GM.
Yeah.
I think he needs a guy who will support his decisions, but also will push Harbaugh in the right direction.
Interesting.
Which is a fine
That's
line
tough.
To walk.
Yeah, you got to have somebody he respects.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
So out of the teams that needed both, right, you had the Panthers who went GM first with Dan Morgan, and now they hire their head coach. The Commanders, who still don't have a head coach, but they've already hired their GM.
Right,
and the Patriots who don't have their GM. So the Patriots don't have their GM but have a coach. The Raiders have a GM, but they kind of hired him after
they did, yeah,
the coach. And the Chargers, who have a coach but don't have a GM. So there's three teams that did it that way, and there are two teams that did it the other way. So we will see which way pans out. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will discuss the names of the trade market that their prices are getting to be a little ridiculous. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.